G'day humans, what's good work? Chris Fundy here for a solo edition of Wrestling Oz Style. How we doing, humans? Bit of a different thing, yeah. We haven't been able to catch up the past 2 weeks. Alex is very busy with family duties, but hopefully we'll have him back after WrestleMania. So for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to try to be live over on my Twitch, twitch.tv/ChrisFunder. And try to do the podcast live there. I'm hoping to do one on Wednesday. I hope to be chatting sort of a brief Indie Mania sort of weekend preview. And then when we get closer, we can chat a bit more of what to expect from WWE. But we can give WWE a quick rundown. We're going to touch on a bit of WWE stuff as well as AEW. A bit of a brief discussion about Stardom, some New Japan stuff, and maybe some other stuff. But humans, if you aren't aware, we are now on TikTok. So we are at Wrestle Oz Style. It's the same handle we use across the majority of our social media. If not, go to Linktree, and our handle there is... All these are in the show notes below. But yeah, we've been trying to put out a few new TikToks and whatnot, trying to spread the good word around. Where was I? I had this just here before. So yeah, for those who haven't seen one of our newer TikToks, the last Airbender Haku one, did fairly well, getting around over 100 views on TikTok. I have 400 views on YouTube and a few dozen on Facebook and Instagram. Threads, it doesn't seem like there's any real way to legitimately track your views on there unless you're using a third party website, so that's not great. But yeah, so I suppose quickly we'll go over to New Japan, and we'll touch on this sort of breaking news within the last 2 hours or so here. From Alex Coghlan's own social media, he has announced that he is retiring from in-ring competition at the age of 30. Various reports going back to the New Japan 10-man steel cage match back in February saying that that's where he was injured. But yeah, that's it. That's it of Coghlan. No longer part of in-ring competition, at least. So I'll be interested to see if New Japan's going to do something there, phase him over to a manager or perhaps like a outside enforcer type guy, maybe someone at the LA Dojo as a trainer, if LA Dojo is even still a thing. I'm not entirely sure off the top of my head. But yeah, it sucks to see somebody who sort of was earmarked for that next generation of New Japan already out injured. But yeah, touching on New Japan, they had their New Japan Cup final. Just touching on the final match here itself, sees Hirooki Goto facing Yota Tsuji, and I believe his nickname is Gene Shock. Yota Tsuji here getting the victory. So it looks like we'll have Yota and Naito at Sakura Genesis, I believe, is the next big event for New Japan fans. But yeah, we've got Sakura Genesis coming up the 6th of the 4th. Wait, is that WrestleMania weekend? Oh my god, that is actually WrestleMania weekend. So they've got Sakura Genesis, then they've got Windy City Riot in Chicago, as well as New Japan Wrestling in Taiwan. Then they go on the road to Dotaku, and sort of then begins the Best of the Super Juniors as well. But yeah, Genesis itself, whilst we were on the topic of New Japan, Windy City Riot, I'll probably touch on as well. But so this is taking place the same weekend as WrestleMania, but in Japan. And then their Windy City Riot is the weekend after, but in Chicago. Let's see, is there any championship matches here? We've got a junior heavyweight tag team championship match here of the War Dogs, Clark Connors and Driller Maloney taking on Catch 2-2 for Nisko Akira and TJP, as well as a team of Intergalactic Jet Setters, Kevin Knight and Kushida. That should be interesting. Also, TJP saying in one of the post-match, I believe it was a post-match announcement, saying that he's going to be the new leader of United Empire now that Will Ospreay is gone. I mean, that's a strange visual in and of itself, but just trying to see if. Okay, I found Ospreay. Da 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 da. So elevated. Where is United Empire? Okay, United Empire. Da, 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 da. Current members. Okay. So self-appointed leader, yeah, TJP. So odd. What do we got in here? United Empire's. In AEW, it's noted that Fletcher, Davis, and Ospreay are still all part of United Empire, while in AEW, and I guess part of Don Callis' family. Let's see, what else on here? IWGP Tag Team Championship of Bullet Club, Chase Owens, and Kenta. Oh, I forgot that was the IWGP Tag Team Champs. Oh God. Taking on Bushimon, Hirooki Goto, and Yoshihashi. IWGP Junior Heavyweight Title Match. Now here's something to see, sink your teeth into. Sho versus Yo. I guess John Moxley won't be at Bloodsport because it's a tag team match of John Moxley and Shooter, Shota Umino, versus House of Torture members Jack Perry and Ren Narita in the advertised co-main event. This is coming from Ryogoku Sumo Hall in Tokyo. And main event here is, yes, as I alluded to earlier, Tetsuya Naito taking on Yota Tsuji for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. Oh boy, that's Jack Perry in House of Torture. Well, yeah, that's a whole can of worms given if you've been anywhere online with the internet this week. But I guess the funnest thing to come out of that was Goldberg having a cry that Asuka broke his streak online, and I just made a meme of Goldberg breaking the window and then Jack Perry saying, "Real glass, cry me a river," which is so stupid. Touching on Stardom briefly, they had their Cinderella tournament wrap up that saw Hana win, and then of note here also, Julia went to a time limit draw against Tam Nakano earlier in the night, and in the main event, Miyaka, apologies again for mispronunciation, retained the World of Stardom title against Itami, going 29-41. So recent discussion about mass exodus of Stardom talent and whatever's going on with Rosie Ogawa's new company is sort of this cloud just hanging over Stardom at the moment. And I think until something actually happens there, I think the expiry date on the majority of the Stardom contracts in question are the end of the month. So we've got a week until we figure out what is going on next. So yeah, that's a bit of a what's going on over in Japan at the moment. Unfortunately, early retirement. The end of the New Japan Cup happened, as well as Stardom Cinderella tournament. I still think they should just make it like Bushiroad Wrestling streaming, like it's what's the DDT Noah one? Cyberfight, yeah. Just put Stardom and bloody New Japan into the one streaming company. I guess it's like some localization TV contract that's preventing them from doing so, but it'd be mighty helpful to the Western audience. Let's touch briefly on WrestleMania weekend stuff, mainly the WWE stuff here. So, as we'd mentioned, two Hall of Famers were announced, that being Paul Heyman and Bull Nakano. Also announced, Thunderbolt Patterson, a wrestler I am personally not that familiar with. Doesn't really seem to have had a big footprint in the WWE itself, but sort of the NWA around Florida and Georgia. I guess Jim Crockett Promotions, Championship Wrestling from Florida, Mid-Atlantic, that sort of big area across Florida. So, yeah. I'm just trying to see how old this wrestler is. He's 82 and they're still alive. There you go. So, they might be... Well, if they're in good enough health, I assume they'd be in attendance. Also got announced the US Express, Mike Rotunda, of course, better known as IRS, and Barry Windham. Yes, Barry Windham is now a two-time Hall of Famer, joining that elite class that it also includes Ric Flair and Sean Waltman and Bret Hart. It's such an odd decision of who they give their two-time Hall of Famer status to, because it was 2018 or something. Oh, I guess Shawn Michaels is too. I'm just trying to find when Ric Flair first went in here, because see, if Alex was here, he'd be like, well, actually, it's this person, this person, this person, and this person. When did Horseman go in? Because Flair's the first two-time. 2012, okay. So I'm around, oh my gosh, it's been 12 years since the Horseman went into the Hall of Fame. And they weren't even the headliner that year. Edge was the headliner that year. I always forget that the Horsemen didn't headline their own class. I guess it's the same as like Mick Foley the following year. Bruno Sammartino was the headliner. So yeah, you have Ric Flair. I'm just having a look here, humans, as we're going through the years. So Flair... 2018, no one stands out yet. 2019, Shawn Michaels. So you got Flair, Shawn Michaels, Booker T, Bret Hart. Then the next year, NWO go in, so Shawn Waltman and... And, yeah, and then Barry Windham. And here's Alex the other week going, oh, you know, you don't really want someone of the Godfather to be a two-time Hall of Famer. I mean, isn't just Barry Windham that from that generation of... I guess not to a NWA, WCW audience, he isn't. Especially that, 80s mainly 80s era, but to a WWF, WWE audience, he probably comes across like that. And celebrity inductee, Muhammad Ali. So, yes, was involved with the Inoki fight, three-time world heavyweight boxing champion, Olympic gold medalist. Is that the Rome Games? Yeah, yeah, the Olympics at Rome. Special guest referee at WrestleMania 1 and the guest of honor for Collision in Korea. It's just such an odd event in history to look back on, Collision in Korea. So yeah, Hall of Fame class sort of seems to be set now. I don't think we're getting anyone else. Maybe a few legacy wing type names, but I think that's about it. So we've got Paul Heyman, Bull Nakano, Thunderbolt Patterson, the US Express members, Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda, and celebrity inductee Muhammad Ali. You know, that's a pretty good class. That'll be, I think it airs after SmackDown. I think SmackDown's still its own thing, but it's like how there'd be dark matches after SmackDown. That's sort of the equivalent of the time slot where it airs. It'll go head-to-head with Rampage. I'm sure Rampage won't get obliterated that week. Why wasn't that the week they moved Rampage? Bugger. NXT Stand and Deliver. So a couple of matches have been confirmed so far. We've got Ilya Dragunov versus Tony D'Angelo. We've got Trick Williams versus Carmelo Hayes. We've got Lyra Valkyria versus Roxanne Perez. And we've got the War Dogs, Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker versus the tournament winners, which will be decided on the April 2nd on the Go Home Show. Really? We've got NXT this week and all the teams have been confirmed. And then we're going to confirm it on the 2nd, a few days before the pay-per-view. Okay, well, this tournament bracket saw LWO defeat OTM. You had Axiom and Nathan Fraser defeat the No Quarter Catch Crew. And you had the OC defeat Hawk Walker and Tank Ledger. So this final is a three-way match of the LWO, Axiom and Nathan Frazier and the OC. That'll be interesting. That will be interesting. Aren't Good Brothers also? No, surely not. Yeah, they were in the WrestleMania bracket for the ladder match positions. Gosh dang this company. Okay, WrestleMania itself. We are 1-2 weeks out. And so far we only have a couple of matches confirmed for each night. Night one sees confirmed the Bloodline, Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody and Seth Frickin' Rollins. Night 2, Seth Rollins defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Drew McIntyre, and Roman Reigns defending the Undisputed Championship against Cody Rhodes, where the result of Night 1 will determine what the stipulation is for Night 2. Where if Rhodes and Rollins win, all Bloodline members are banned from ringside. But if Rock and Reigns wins, it'll be contested under Bloodline rules. Yeah. I don't know about all of you, but I really do not care about those matches. Also at WrestleMania, we have Io Sky defending the Women's Championship against Bayley. We have Rhea Ripley defending the Women's World Championship against Becky Lynch. We have Gunther defending against Sami Zayn for the IC title. I still feel like this should have been Chad Gable. Either Gunther wins and we continue this reign, or Sami wins and it's like, Sami's already had this title. He did everything he could do with this title. Having Chad Gable beat Gunther at WrestleMania would have made him that next level guy, because he has just been stuck in comedy lower card fodder forever. Ever since him and Jason Jordan broke up, because Jason Jordan is Kurt Angle's son. Wow, that is so long ago. Judgment Day will defend in a six-pack tag team ladder match, taking on DIY, Awesome Truth, New Day, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. Ah, I miss Big E. As well as two SmackDown teams to be determined this week. So in the semi-final, we'll see Ligero del Fantasma versus New Catch Republic. And the other one will be A-Town Down Under, terrible name, but Austin Fury and Grayson Waller taking on Street Profits, Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford. I could see... So that's Bobby Lashley's guys. I could see, was it Final Testament? Karrion Kross and his guys getting involved there, costing the Street Profits the match, so they spin off to their own thing for Mania, and Austin Fury and Grayson Waller get a WrestleMania ladder match tag team six-way. Yeah, it could happen. And then on the other side, how we split babyface, heel. That'd be a heel. New Catch Republic got their match in Perth. You put in another babyface, but then you got four babyface teams, or you put in Ligero del Fantasma. And they're heel, so then you'd have an even split. What else have we got here? We've got LA Knight versus AJ Styles. Sure. Why not? That'll be fine. Logan Paul versus Randy Orton and Kevin Owens for the US title. Again, should be fine. And Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. This should be a really good match, provided they've got the time to go out and deliver. Yeah, I don't know. I just think WrestleMania feels like a bit of a damp squib. And most of that falls on this Cody storyline of just confusing booking. Cody looking like a fucking idiot. I'll fight you, Roman, but not at WrestleMania. And then changes his mind. And then we have Seth, who says that his title is a working man's title, and that, you know, you should defend it because this is the title, you should challenge me, Cody, because this is the title that your father would have represented, and blah, blah, blah. And Reigns just calls him, no, that's the number two belt. Who would want that belt? And Seth, like, Cody eventually chooses Roman, and that's how we get to this whole kerfuffle. And Seth tells Drew that Drew isn't even on his list of priorities going into WrestleMania weekend. How is this belt not fucking buried? Fuck me. Yeah, I've already said it enough on social media. I give zero shits about either of these two matches. These will be my popcorn breaks. And if they are main eventing, I'll just switch off and go and spend my free time doing something else. Because I don't give two shits about Dwayne. I didn't care about Dwayne when he came back to fight Cena. Or Cena again. Which was dumb. nor doing this, which has just made no logical sense. What's his name? The first boss? Final boss? Some dumb shit. It is just... I get some people are into it. It is just jump the shark to me and it is just change the channel. No buys. Okay, let's jump over to a bit of AEW before we wrap this thing up. Big Business came to us from Boston, Massachusetts. Show kicked off with Samoa Joe defeating Wardlow by referee stoppage. Then we saw the six-man tag team match of the Elite, Kazuchika Okada, Matt Nix Jackson defeating Death Triangle members Pac and Penta, as well as Eddie Kingston. That was a really good match. Following that was Jay White versus Darby Allin, where unfortunately Darby broke his foot legitimately in three spots, broke three different bones, can't go climb Mount Everest now. Instead of doing that, he's at home resting on time off. So yeah, Jay White getting the win here. Darby wrestled, I think it was like he broke his foot in the first 2 minutes and continued to wrestle this 12-minute match because, of course, he did. It's Darby Allin. We had the team of Lionhook, Chris Jericho and Hook versus the Gates of Agony, Bishop Khan and Toa Leona. Absolutely nothing happened in the match. I'm sure the vast majority of the audience just used this as their popcorn break. And main event was Willow Nightingale versus Rio. Going about 10 minutes, Willow getting a nice singles win here on Dynamite. But the show kicks off. Carr arrives, almost hits Renee. Then we cut to the new Dynamite opening. And then music plays. And out comes Mercedes Moné. I know a lot of people were big on her song, saying that it's better than her New Japan Stardom song. I disagree. I think we're 2 weeks in, and I already feel like this CEO chanting in it is going to become very grating. It's either going to be one of those things that's just the fans take to, and it just becomes really organic over time. Like Britt doing the DMD. Like, there's a natural feud when Britt returns. Where the hell is Britt? Yeah, bring back Britt. Yeah, so Big Business, big success. Not sure it was a big success like they wanted. Collision on like one day's notice, though. We get Bryan Danielson and Katsuyori Shibata going about 20 minutes, kicking the piss out of each other. Yes, please. More of this. Just not on this time slot. And then other stuff happened on Collision, but I didn't really watch. Kevin Kelly removed from Collision. Not really too sure what's happened there. Different backstage murmurings and whatnot. But, Kevin Kelly seems to be gone entirely. Which is a bit of a shame. I've always enjoyed him on commentary. I will say I do not know the full extent as to why he's gone. But, that is the case. Okay, AEW Dynamite coming to us this past week from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Show kicks off. Kazuchika Okada versus Eddie Kingston. Only for one of Eddie's belts. I went into this thinking it was for all three, because Eddie's always defended him as all three. And I don't think it would have been stupid to have them be defenders all three here, but apparently we're doing stuff for Ring of Honor, which I'll get into on Wednesday. And Eddie loses. And Kazuchika Okada wins. He's the new AEW Continental Champion. And I think it was like later on in the week, Tony Khan said that the Continental Champion will defend the title in the Continental Classic every year. I do not like this belt. Hopefully, Eddie is a good wrestler. He's a good champion. I just think we have enough belts in AEW, and we have enough belts with the Ring of Honor belts constantly in AEW as well, and the FTW belt hanging around, and the New Japan Strong belt hanging around, and whatever Mexican belts come through. Yeah, we have enough belts. We didn't need this extra belt. I wouldn't mind it being a trophy or, you know, a yearly thing, and the winner gets a match at what's the last pay-per-view? World's End. So gets a match at they can build it up, gets a match at whatever the last pay-per-view was, Revolution. Fine. Yeah. Just these titles, what actually is the rating on Cage Match for this title? Just a lot of people just saying, like, why is this a belt? Yeah, I agree. Insert Sting Victory Road 2011. I agree. Following that, another poorly received Chris Jericho match against Hook going 10 minutes, Hook here getting the win. And then Jericho was like, oh yeah, next week I'll have something special for you on Dynamite. It's like, okay mate, sure, if you say so. Mariah May and Toni Storm with Luther taking on Deonna Purrazzo and a mystery tag team partner. I don't know if this had been announced earlier in the day on social media, but as they're running down the card at the start of the show, they announced it's Thunder Rosa. I'm just like, oh, I thought this was supposed to be a mystery person. Then again, could have been announced on a Collision or Rampage, and I just didn't see it. Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa here getting the win at 7:12, and Deonna sort of trying to build her way back to Tony, it seems. With Mercedes, it seems that she'll be going after Julia Hart and the TBS title, the women's TV title. We also got a singles match of Swerve taking on The Butcher. It's like, yeah, we love The Butcher, and it goes 3 minutes. I suppose I need to bring that up, the AEW title, tag title thing. The Butcher and the Blade. Like, I get Ali, the Bunny, was released, but come on, the Butcher and the Blade are great. We have this tag team championship tournament. 10 teams, because there's 6 teams in the first round and 2 teams are playing off in a wild card. Yeah. Why? I do not know. So over on the left-hand side of the bracket, we've got the Young Bucks versus Private Party. And in the other half of the left-hand bracket, we'll have Undisputed Kingdom versus the winners of Wildcard 1 match, which was Best Friends versus Don Callis family members. Over on the right-hand side of the bracket, there was Ricky Starks and Big Bill versus Top Flight, and FTR versus the winner of the Wildcard bracket on the right-hand side, defeating House of Black, the Infantry. Big question here. Claudio Mox got a double submission win on the pay-per-view. Well, where are they in this tournament? In all honesty, like, why no Claudio and Mox? Why no combination of Blackpool Combat Club members? I get Danielson's sort of does his own thing most of the time away from them. But yeah, yeah, why no members there? Gosh. Okay. Yeah. And then the main event here was the main event of Dynamite, at least, because this was a 3-hour block. Main event of Dynamite was a TNT Championship I Quit match that saw Christian Cage, the defending champ, taking on Adam Copeland. This being a really, really good match. This getting 4.25 from the Observer. So there you go. But yes, goes about 25 minutes. A lot of plunder, brawling. There's a hockey fight spot at one point. And it gets down to, like, Christian has all his guys from the Patriarchy come in. And then former members of the Jericho Appreciation Society come in. Matt Menard and Daniel Garcia come in to sort of even out the numbers. Mother Wayne is run off. Nick Wayne and Killswitch are sort of handcuffed to opposite corners. They continue to beat on Christian. The baby faces here have the advantage on Christian. Christian gets chained in the corner, kicked in the balls, doesn't quit. Adam Copeland pulls out the briefcase again, pulls out Spike. Spike to the balls, doesn't quit. Then he goes to remove Spike, and the TV cuts to black. And I'm watching on delay, as I always do, humans. And, yeah, Dynamite cut, and then Rampage began, and it was like the first 5 minutes on there again, so I'm just trying to slowly scroll my way through to find where I was up to. And then I come back, and Adam has Spike, and he's holding it up, and looks like he's going to swing it down on Christian's head. And Christian says, I quit. So it could have gone like another minute, and it would have all just been on there, and you could have done this celebration on Rampage. But yeah, lone criticism for me watching on delay was I got taken out of the ending there because I had to change feed and try to buffer through without spoiling for myself. And new TNT champion Adam Copeland. So yeah, already sort of has a program set up there with Nick Wayne coming out of it, much as what Alex predicted, so that should be very good. And we continue with our live broadcast here. We have an hour of Rampage that got moved because of North American sports from its normal time slot, so we kick things off here with one of the AEW World Tag Team Tournament wildcard matches here that sees Don Callis family members Fletcher and Powerhouse Hobbs. There's a spot in this match where they're going to break, and it sounds like Fletcher just shouts out, "Drink toys!" So I don't know if that's just me working in a bar hearing it that way or what. So they're taking on the Chaos members of Best Friends, Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta, because Chuck's injured. And Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta here getting the win. This was a fine tag team match. Following that, Katsuyori Shibata beat up Kevin Matthews, somebody who I'm not really that familiar with. Went about a minute. More Don Callis family, because, yeah, we really want to hammer home this final hour. Of Konosuke Takeshita defeats Rocky Romero in about 10 minutes. That was a good match. I'll give him that. Takeshita has done himself wonders in the past year, going from sort of unknown Japanese rookie trying to fight MJF to what he is now. And main event was the women's tag team street fight. I feel bad for the women because they had to follow Christian and Adam. False habit. But yeah, Statlander and Nightingale versus Julia Hart and Sky Blue. And they are using tables and chairs and thumbtacks. And yeah, it was a really good street fight match. Not even just a women's street fight, just a street fight in general. And they worked their asses off. And Julia Hart and Sky Blue here get the win. And sort of in the post-match, Mercedes runs down. There was sort of this weird altercation earlier on in the night where House of Black was ringside sort of trying to isolate Statlander and Nightingale. It might have even been the week before. And Mercedes, like, the lights go out, the lights come back on. Willow's got a chair and she's sort of looking at Mercedes. So they are heavily alluding to that history, which I do like. I do like when you can sort of reference that. And they did a pretty good video package of Mercedes. If you don't know me, here's why you should know me. I'm in Star Wars and I do music and and I'm over in Stardom Wrestling and New Japan. So yeah, that was actually them doing something for good. But I think that just about does it for this edition of the wrap. A bit more condensed, concise version, I guess. So unfortunately the sad news there on Alex Coughlin. I might just quickly jump over to Oceania Pro Wrestling. Do we have anything major announced? Because I know all the women's matches got announced, if I can find it. Give me a moment here, humans. Okay, so yeah, having a quick look here at the OPW event for the 13th of April. There's a TNA World Heavyweight Championship defense of Moose versus Josh Alexander. Insane. One of the main events for Mickie James presents her TNA Knockouts World Championship, Jordynne Grace versus Delta. Oh, I'm so jealous that I'm not there. Kushida and Robbie Eagles will battle one-on-one. That should be, yeah, pretty interesting. I can't find the exact post, unfortunately, with all the women's matchups. I do know that Mickie James did announce it. The Pariah will defend the OPW Tag Team Championship against Edward Dusk and Gangrel. Okay, here it is. So yes, the full card for her. TNA Knockouts World Championship, Jordynne Grace versus Delta, Mickie James versus Vix Crow, formerly Alicia Fox, AAA Reina de Reina's Championship, their women's championship, Flamia versus Steph Delanda versus Jody Fret, I believe I'm pronouncing that right, Tennille Dashwood versus Jessica Troy, the OPW Women's Championship of Erica Reed versus Lizzie Evo, OPW Women's Tag Team Championship. Bull Nakano will present the titles a week after she's in the WWE Hall of Fame. PPK versus Backside Girls and Lisa Marie Vaughn's six-pack challenge. The winner will earn a OPW Women's title shot at Lana Cross versus Tali versus Aisha versus Charlie Evans versus two participants to be announced. That looks pretty epic. Wish I was there. I think that's about it. Yeah, April 11 to 14th. Hopefully they stream them either on their OPW website or they're on Fight or something. That'd be nice. Past events. I don't know if there's a streaming service on here or videos. Is this it? I'm just having a look at their website now. Become a fan. Champions. No, I don't think there's like a vault or that unless it's like on their YouTube or something. Nope. Bugger. Oh well, I had a look for you. that about does it for now. So, with that being said, you can go follow Alex at Fruity is Alex on social medias or using the show link in the description below. Go buy your merch at Wrestle Ozstyle. Again, links in the show description below. T-shirts, hats are via Streamlabs because their quality is pretty good for the price. And other small little things are via Redbubble because we want to try to keep those cheap for you guys. Go listen to the entire Wrestling All-Star archive for free on SoundCloud, Podcast, Podbean, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or using the RSS feed found in the show notes below for your podcast choice, including Apple. Nothing left to say, but good day, and we'll speak to you next time. Alright, humans, I don't really have anything funny, so I'm just going to play the clip of Carl Fletcher and you can decide for yourself if he's saying he feels like two E's today.
Continues in picture in picture.